Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, my co-host here is Barb. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody. I've got Rochelle Royale's new single, Diamonds, playing right now. Can you hear it?
I think we played that in the background. Yeah, it's now we're waiting to see. We're waiting for her to call in. She hasn't called in yet.
Can you hear the single that I'm playing?
Yeah, I think I can hear it. Let me. I think this might be her. Give me 1 second here. Rochelle,
this is
you?
Rochelle.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Barbara. How are you?
Great. I've got your new single playing right now on my YouTube.
Oh, my God.
I am following you. Go ahead. Let me turn this down.
Can people hear the song, or are we going to play the song, or what do you want me to do?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with
I'll play it right now.
If you're okay with playing the song, Rochelle.
Well, I'm already playing.
Yeah,
it's on, and I'm going to turn it up in a second.
Yes.
But first, why don't we give her a proper introduction here,
okay? That's right, yes.
Today, we have, oh, my gosh, I can't even say up and coming. I mean, you are current. You currently have amazing singles out. Your latest, Diamonds, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Yeah, the new single is called Diamonds. We also have a brand new music video for the song Please Her, and I can get into that later, but I want to talk about who directed it.
Okay, well, let's put this on loud so everybody can hear Diamonds.
All right.
I've been listening to you all day, and I do anyway. Even though you're our friend and we found you, this amazing Charlotte. We found you.
Thank you.
I love your music. I'm not just listening to it because I know you and you've been a guest on our show. I love your music. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm telling
so
Johnny,
much.
This latest video, wow. Let's hear it, everybody. Ready? I got enough love in my pocket. And when he walking, looking inside, I know he wanted. I got a million brand new. Put it on the line, I do go through. Ah, did you not let me know so? And you try a line for me, you don't know the answer. It's a time, got it. Only one thing that's forever. If I hurt or whatever, everybody can get the idea from
wow.
that.
Now,
yeah.
It's funny
amazing
because I want to say something. You once said that because the reason we wanted to have you on was because you said that a lot of the of your inspiration for your music comes from your mom. Am I right about that?
No.
My yeah, wait, I didn't hear that. Yeah, she was involved with the dance inspiration, your mom.
Oh, no, I'm
right.
sorry. I
yeah.
guess what I'm trying to say is that I thought maybe that you did music to kind of deal with the death of your mom is what I thought. You understand that music helps you get over that. Am
well,
I right about that?
We can get into that in a minute. I don't
yeah,
get
okay,
into
that's
that
fine.
Yet.
Let's
talk
that's
about
fine.
The song.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So, Barbara,
song first.
Barbara,
yeah.
This song was produced by Dave Berg. He's out here in L.A. He's super, super talented. And I told him that I wanted to do something really fun and upbeat. And this was last year. This was before quarantine even started. And, you know, we weren't going to even finish the song. And then it's so crazy that I ended up booking a job as a songwriter this summer for this TikTok superstar named Gabriella Valdez. Now they're calling her Vella, V-E-L-L-A. And I wrote 7 songs for this girl, Gabriella. So I'm in the studio with a full band for 3 months, and she just released her first single, which I wrote, and her music video has already hit over 1 million views. It's so crazy. And just thought to myself, I'm in the studio. I might as well work on my stuff then if everyone is still working during quarantine. And so I hit up Dave and I asked him if he was comfortable. And so we went back to the studio and we finished the song like during quarantine, which was so, so bizarre and crazy because it just, you know, it was so scary because you want to stay home. You want to stay, you know, just hidden away from the world. But it was really just the universe was like, we're going to give you these opportunities during this crazy time in the world. So
it was lined up for you. And sometimes people in a bad situation, the world, pandemic, some people are doing better, and you sound like you're one of them. And it seems like the artists are doing better because it gave them like a little window or an avenue, a different direction to be able to create more, have more time, have a like a solitude, an area where they can, you know, dive in a little deeper. And so this is wonderful for you. I mean, it's sad for a lot of people in the world with coronavirus.
Exactly. It is so sad, but it's kind of like we kind of are called to put art out to kind of distract people from the sadness. It's like art makes us feel better. And I just can't believe that I had the opportunity to do music in such a crazy time. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know a lot about the music business because I'm not into it, but I know what I like. And I love your latest video. Were you in Malibu shooting that for your latest? And tell us the title of that song.
So the music video, my friend, she does real estate, and she was able to get us a house for free to shoot at. And that was not in Malibu. It was just, like, in the L.A. area. And my friends, Ricky Palomino and Matt Cady, both came in and directed this video. They are known for choreographing for Dancing with the Stars. Matt literally just did the Madam X tour. He was the main choreographer on the Madam X tour for Madonna. Ricky has choreographed for Asia Monet Ray from, you know, when she was little, she was known from the show Dance Moms, and now she's a huge TikTok influencer.
Yeah.
So they've just done so much work in the dance industry, and they happen to be my friends. And we came together also during quarantine and said, hey, let's do something creative as friends. And I just, you know, they brought their A game, and they brought these 3 dancers onto set, and it was just amazing. And the whole concept for the Please Her music video is we need to protect women. We need to treat them right, men. Like, respect. Listen to us. We have feelings, and we're not crazy. We are not crazy. Men make us crazy. And it's funny because during quarantine, men have had the opportunity to be more emotional and to be more public and vocal about their emotions, because right now everyone has a podcast about mental health. So I'm actually excited to see the men kind of like have a space where they can start talking about why they're such assholes.
And I know a lot of them who have said, I've got to be careful because of the Me Too movement. You're just realizing now to be careful. hey, for your own self, how about be careful because you need to treat women with respect. I mean, come on. I've heard that. I've heard that, Rochelle. Wow.
Yeah.
Every single time you come back, every time you come back on the show, you're telling us some amazing new, like, landmark. Not landmark. What is the word?
Just like women empowerment. Just like a message for women, I think is my main goal, is to constantly promote women and and just make sure that girls know that we have the power to thrive and that men need to allow us to be powerful.
And why do you have that feeling where you really want to stand up for women? Is it because you're one of them in this hard industry?
I've been through the worst. I've, like, the horror stories that you hear, I literally have physically been through terrible shit with men who have power. And so I know I'm not just an advocate just because I feel like it. I am a survivor of, you know, all of these things that we talk about, like rape. That has happened to me. So it's not just some fantasy made up thing. It's like these men really do take advantage of their power. And it's still happening. Even now with how scary it is for men and cancel culture, it's still happening. So yeah, I mean, it is scary. It's scary to go to the grocery store. It's scary to go to CVS. It's, you know, it's a constant anxiety to know that there are predators everywhere. And but also from an internal power standpoint, like, I think that a lot of women hide their true selves because they feel ashamed or they feel stupid. And I think that that's because of this old narrative that we've had in society for so long, you know. And now we see so many women who are in the forefront, and all different shapes, sizes, ages, races, ethnicities. These women are stepping forward and saying, you need to be proud of who you are, and you do have the power to be a leader. And it's a lie to have a man tell you that you are not worthy or at their level.
So
I'm
true.
Just like,
and,
I can't wait to see.
You know what else I love that I've noticed recently is that the fuller figured models are in style. And that is such a great message. Yeah, I've noticed that a
Lizzo.
Lot.
Lizzo.
Oh,
every day. Her body and how much she loves her body. And it's called the body positivity movement. And even for girls like me, I don't have a big booty. And I get insecure too because I feel like maybe I'm too skinny or maybe I don't have like a Kim Kardashian ass. And it's like, no, everyone is their own body type. And we need to stop putting a stigma around this is what's cool. This is how you need to look. It really destroys the mental psyche of a woman.
Right, because when they talk about the full figure, the fuller figure, then that's putting that out there to the people who are skinny with little tiny butts, and I'm one of them. It's not our turn to, like, okay, it's my turn to, you know, see how it feels to feel this. No, it's not about that. It's to be, you know, positive and feel good about being in your skin, because everybody is beautiful in their own way.
Right. And I've had to really, the other day I posted publicly about it and I said, hey ladies, I'm insecure about my ass. And you know what? Today I'm not. Today I am saying I love my body and I'm going to allow myself to feel sexy. It's crazy that I don't feel
Did
sexy
you get a lot of
because
feedback?
Of what, I mean, yeah, I actually got a retweet from a celebrity on Twitter, and her name's Victoria Modesta, and she's known as, like, the bionic woman. She does, like, a lot of high fashion posts, but she only has one leg, and she has this metal, gorgeous, like, metal pieces for her leg that is missing, and I couldn't believe that she recognized my message, you know, and it was such a big deal to me to have somebody like that, you know, like the tweet. But yeah, I mean,
hashtag to reach out, like for her to see this, or was
she followed me? Yeah, it was. I think I used the body positivity hashtag, but it's on my Twitter feed. It's really recent. I'm wearing a unitard. It's like a cutout unitard that kind of looks like the Mugler unitard that everyone's wearing right now. And
that's awesome.
She followed me because of that.
Oh, wow. I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And that hashtag, I've made note of that too, because I love it. And we would like to interview some of those people. But yes, so you and I are in the same boat. You know, I've always been naturally thin, and we're both dancers, and it's just that's how we're made. But it is kind of strange how the world out there puts all these stigmas, like, okay, now it's full figures in, so now we have to all go buy butt implants? No, we don't. We do not have to do that.
Right. Exactly. And then the women that have done the butt implants, they talk about how terrible it is and how it destroys their bodies. I mean, how awful.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, TLC, one of the girls from TLC, she was on Wendy Williams, and she said, please don't do this, because she had to get multiple surgeries.
So is it a lot different, do you know, than the breast implants? Those seem a lot less hard to deal with. You're not sitting on them
I don't know. I'm sure it is more invasive, but it's just crazy that we would go to those lengths just to be what's on trend. And, you know, I just want to get through a full day without thinking about, oh no, my ass is too small. Like, really?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But what's the difference between breast implants or butt implants? You know, when breast implants came out, everybody was, you know, not wanting to tell anybody that they did it, but then it became such a norm. And I get concerned that this is going to become a norm with the butt implants, and I can't do it. But so these are the little things and big things that we worry about as women. I mean, can you imagine if men had to worry about this stuff all the time? And what for? What for? To be attractive to the other opposite race.
Well,
you know what's
so funny is men are super insecure, and that's why they treat women like crap, because they are insecure. You know, I mean, whether it's the size of their pee-pee or if they're bald or if they're not cute, I mean, men definitely go through it too. It's just they don't vocalize it, and it comes out in different ways. And that's why I think it's so great that we are starting to be public about all of these topics, and that men, it's for you guys to talk about it.
Well, what songs, you just said that, did you say you wrote 9 songs for this Bella who is on TikTok?
Gabriella.
Off of TikTok, Gabriella, who they're calling Bella
now. I wrote 7 songs for her album, and the first single is called Sky Without Stars. And it's over 1 million views on YouTube.
Wow.
I've been tweeting
about
her. And
so how
much
she's
on my Instagram, too.
In these. Okay. And Instagram, we have Rachelle Royale. Let me just spell it for everybody so they can make note of it. Rachelle Royale with an E on the end. So make sure you get that spelling right. And that's Rachelle Royale Music is your IG, and your Twitter is
Rachelle
Royale. Okay, so that's simple. Everybody follow her right now. But I wanted to know how much of what we were just talking about with, you know, the image of our own selves and everything that's going on in the world, did you put into these songs? And what song did you put in the most? That has meaning
The thing about Bella is she literally is Janis Joplin reincarnated. She sounds like Janis Joplin.
How old is she?
17 years old. But
is this
girl,
the girl who went on the show with Simon Cowell?
No, I know who you're talking about.
Oh,
they're very
okay.
similar, but no, Gabriella is, she is a little bit more powerful than that
oh,
girl.
Wow.
Her voice is,
yeah.
is so big.
Okay,
so big.
That's
and
cool.
So when I
love Jen
when
Stoffman.
I was hired, yeah, when I was hired to write for her, they said, we want Etta James, we want soul, we want Motown. And so she is, you know, 1975 all over again. And every single
that's
song
totally
is
cool.
very, like, soulful.
I love that. Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And so how did that come about? Is this just coming about with your representation or you as a go-getter and being – you're always like, I'm tweeting, I'm tweeting. Well, that's such a big part of today, social media, for you to have gotten hired to write these songs for her. How did that all come about?
You're going to laugh. Our mutual friend, Chris LeVar.
Yeah.
He introduced me to a producer, and that's how I got the job.
Wow. You never know.
Yeah.
You just have to stay connected and out there and talking and just what you do, and it shows. That's amazing. You never know who you're going to come across
yeah.
that's going to, like, change your life or just give you that next stepping stone. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you do it. 7 songs you just recently wrote. I'm sure there's tons more that you've written. To even write a song, that is – that's taking so much talent. So you're a songwriter. You are a singer with an incredible voice. You're an amazing, accomplished, trained dancer and an amazing personality. So you're really on your way. I mean, you're enjoying your moments as you go up, right?
Well, okay. So, I mean, the thing with, like, making it and becoming a real celebrity, it's like, celebrity and fame, it's kind of like once you're up there, I kind of personally feel like I like being where I'm at because I don't have the pressure of being famous. Because I think once
mm-hmm.
you're a celebrity, everything you say and do is judged, and your schedule, you have no time to rest. You don't have a personal life. Everything's public, especially now with how, you know, how quickly social media, you know, the paparazzi, I mean, there's no privacy or anything, and you're getting condemned for every freaking thing. So for me, I'm kind of like, I'm really happy with where I'm at. I love being, putting music out and being a creative person and writing with other people and getting these cool gigs. And I'd rather buy a house than become a celebrity, honestly. If it does happen,
you know, funny,
then
just,
cool,
yeah.
But it is a very difficult lifestyle, and I'm not really
that,
like...
I've heard that a lot of the people, like one time I had a lady on, I think it was Sabrina Parise, and she told me a story about how the press, they got wind of something that she did, and it turned out to be 180 degrees opposite of what happened, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm thinking, okay, between being able to show your creativity, express or a lot of money or being a famous celebrity, I would say being able to express myself creatively would
yeah.
be the number one, because with that you're so fulfilled. And hello everybody, that is the bottom line here. Money cannot
mm-hmm.
buy you happiness. Fame mm-hmm. cannot buy you happiness. But having your creative outlet and being able to still, you know, you can express that. That is real
right.
life right there. That's a real living.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like, you know, if you're in a major label contract, you are being told what you're going to do. Like, you don't really get to think about who am I, what am I going to put out next, what feels right, you know. It's just
mm-hmm.
you're on a schedule. It's there's no stopping. You have no time to think, and you have 100 people telling you what to do. So I really am grateful for just being in a good place right now and being an independent artist and writer, and, you know, getting validation from these cool jobs is, that's really it for me. Of course, I would love to have more money, but I do love,
will never be enough. It doesn't matter. You know, everybody wants more. And then when you have more and more and more, so it's just, it's not the real fulfillment that is going to bring you joy in your life. That's
right.
That you know that, because that drives a lot of people. Money drives people. But see, it's going to work perfectly for you because your creativity is what drives you, your passion, and then everything else just kind of falls right into place. And you're enjoying your moments as you go along.
I wanted to mention one other project that's happening right now just so I can give these people a shout out. There's a new producer out in the world. His name is Tristan Calder, and we have been doing songs nonstop. I'm in the studio with him every Saturday, and he has been doing work for a label called Sonic Beat Records. Well, Sonic Beat Records is going to drop an album next month, and the owner, Sebastian, had me as the face of the first music video. So we just shot that music video at Center Staging on Saturday. So keep an eye out for this new music video. The song is really fun. It's this upbeat pop record called 911. And I did six songs with Tristan for Sonic Beat Records. And the guy directing the video, his name is Brandon J. Hale. And he's amazing, too. And Brandon and Tristan used to be DJ partners together. Their team was called Kill the Computer, and now they're both doing their independent things. But we all, like, came together full circle and are doing this awesome project. And Tristan and I are dropping a brand new single called Rules. It's very sexy. It's super hot. We're getting the artwork done. We're getting the song mastered tomorrow. So, yeah, that's really exciting, too. That's, like, a brand-new thing that I'm a part of that's really fun and exciting.
This is amazing. You know what? That is wonderful. And what I also liked, I caught in the beginning of this interview when you said, hey, I'm already in the studio. Why not do my own thing? You know, you take advantage of the opportunity right there. Because how much would it cost somebody who has talent but has not the money to cut anything? How much would that cost, just to give us a ballpark?
Well, okay, first of all, nobody is paying for studio time anymore because everybody has their own studio at home. Right. However, for the Gabriella album, those people were renting out a studio in Burbank, and that was really expensive. So that was kind of like very old school. I haven't seen a studio rental in a really long time. But if you're recording with a producer who has indie rates, an independent song can range from, you know, $1,500 to $5,000. If you're working with like a big time name, it can go all the way up to $50,000. It just depends on who you're working with. But no one's renting studio space anymore, so that's not really a cost.
But
to be able to have a team, if you have a team and you guys are all working together to get songs done for free to make money off of the back end, I mean, that's the goal, is to be able to record your music for free. And a lot of people now, like, I finally have a home studio and am learning.
Tell us about that. I want to know. Okay, everybody, hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to set this up. I watch your videos and your Instagram stories mostly, and now I'm getting more on Twitter. But, oh, wow, they are so cool. I think you must have spent a fortune on these. And now you're telling me that people have their home studios. So you're doing a lot of this at home?
Yeah, so it costs money to get the studio set up. You need a laptop, you need a great microphone, you need headphones, and then purchasing Pro Tools is like $300 a year. So Pro Tools is mainly for vocals. If you're in the pop genre, Pro Tools is definitely the way to go. For people who are making beats, they're using programs like Ableton or Fruity Loops. What's the other one? Oh, my gosh. There's so many programs. But I am using Pro Tools because I am pop, and I am focused on pop vocals. So I now know how to create my session, how to get the mic set up with the console, and oh, yeah, Logic is the other program. So that was really the hardest part, was getting everything set up and being able to get through a session, opening up a session and getting the sound to work, and then learning how to track. I mean, that right there is the biggest step. And then
but it's so fun.
Now I'm
right.
Yeah. So
when
now
you
I'm
learn
there.
When it clicks.
I mean, it is fun, but it's not super fun yet because I'm not fast, and it takes a long time to like stack the vocals and then go back in and edit. I mean, you're like, you're sitting on your ass for hours, and for me, that's really hard because I like to move around.
I know what you're talking about, but we have to do it, right? Because I go through the same thing with just even perfecting a photograph, really. And you're sitting there, and there's so many different programs, and it's so fun, but then you're like, oh, my gosh, my neck is killing me, and this is tedious, and you're a perfectionist probably, and it's just so much. But you rattle it off, the tongue. Like, you're doing it. You're living it.
Any type of editing where it's taking you 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, I mean, it is, you have to mentally prepare yourself. You're there all day. So it's a lot of, you just have to like want to get the work done and know that it's going to take hours and just
do
it.
Hold on. Say you get so, you're into it and you're doing this for hours and hours. What about your other life that maybe things are piling up? Or do you do a thing where you put a timer on? Because I've been having to do the timer. Okay, now I have to go, turn my attention to my physical labor, like, laundry, things that a single girl has to do to survive. You have to do things that everybody else does.
I know for a fact that there are producers that don't leave the studio for days. I mean, it's up to you. It's your personal choice. But if you have to get songs done, you can't leave. You have to stay there and get it done. So for people that are getting paid to be an engineer or a producer, especially for big names, you can't leave. I mean, it's like, that is your life.
Yeah.
So hopefully you have someone else doing your laundry.
Do you?
I don't. I mean, I live by myself, but you know what? I can't. I need to other artists to be at my house to get shit done. I don't like to work by myself. I can do costumes by myself, but tracking vocals or writing songs, I really prefer to be with other people. It's just way easier for me because I feel like I'm being held accountable by them, and I feel like more pressure to get it done. Yeah.
Good point, though, Rochelle, because when you feel like you're accountable, that is something that I feel like I need. And when you're self-employed and you're your own boss, it's really commendable to find somebody like you who is actually a great boss to themselves and knows at a young age what decisions to make and how hard to work and put in 150% at all times. I mean, people don't come across people like you very often. I mean, you are a diamond.
Well, I look at other people and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not even doing half of what they are doing.
Really?
There's so many people that are just, they are putting so much content out, especially TikTok. I can't keep up with the TikTok.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
How are they doing that, though? Because I know you, and I know your work ethic and how hard you work. How could somebody else seem to be doing much, much more? Like, how?
It's having a manager or having multiple people schedule your stuff throughout the day. I mean, I'm not doing four different tasks in one day. I could, but it's exhausting. It's like, imagine spending 4 hours shooting a TikTok, edit, post it, and then spending 4 hours shooting brand new photos or spending 8 hours on a new song. It's like, for me personally, I have to choose one. I can't do all of that in one day, but some of these artists are doing all of that in one day.
I don't
know.
They're
very consistent.
Well, you just explained it. I don't think they could do it on their own, though. They have people. And is this something that you want to do? Are you trying to, you know, organize it? Because I can't hardly organize all my outfits, the modeling outfits, the stuff that's tons and tons of boxes of clothes, which I see that you have more than me probably. Mm-hmm. And to keep that organized is just a full-time job, right?
Yeah, we can't do it by ourselves. If we had the money, I'm sure we would hire assistants and wardrobe and hair and makeup. I mean, these people really do have a full team. And that's really, it does take a team. It takes a team, I think.
It
to
does,
get it done.
But what you put out there, which I see all the time, I'm not big on TikTok yet, but I'm getting there. I have to add that. That's going to take
me
more time.
Me either.
But
I'm like nothing on
really?
TikTok.
Really?
Oh,
like
my
that's
God.
I just started
person,
it.
I guess
started
I followed
TikTok. I started TikTok.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's wonderful. TikTok's great. I feel like I would do well on TikTok because I cannot sing, but I can move and I can mouth words and it might be fun.
Yeah.
I'll get a lot more followers, but gosh, yeah. And I want to do it, but there's so many things. We have to check messages in so many different places. And then me with my thing with the modeling and all, and then I do all of Life, Laughter, Happiness, and Shawnee, you know, he's learning about hashtags. So, I mean, I'm not, putting you down, Shawnee. It's just the way it is. It just moves so quickly. Do you ever feel like sometimes, oh, my gosh, I can't take this anymore. This is just too much. Or do you just feel like I'm handling it?
No, I think the whole world is realizing how stressful social media is on the planet. I mean, mm-hmm. anyone that has a phone talks about how they will spend hours scrolling. And it really is a problem, I think, for every single person, unless you're not on social media. And I know that some people don't even do Instagram or Twitter or, I mean, a lot of people aren't even on TikTok. It's people who are under 19 who are doing TikTok, you know, on a daily basis.
Well, yeah. But isn't that why we need to, as performers, creators, put it out every single place? Like my dad, he's only on YouTube. That's it. He hates Facebook. He doesn't want anything else. But he forwards me a million things from YouTube. And it's so cute because we're following a lot of the same. It's so funny. Yes. And so you have to get it out to every single place on the social platform.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
might
be missing a huge market.
Yeah. So for me, to answer your question, yes, it stresses me out. But what I do is I know I have to meditate. I have to put on my little, my chill meditation music. Like I'll find a cool little playlist on Spotify and that really helps me recenter. And I have to just be like, Rochelle, what do you need right now to calm down, to refocus? Because we get in our heads. And we get these, you know, insecurities and fear and we get overwhelmed and then you kind of lose sight of who you are as an artist. So I just have to
clear that every day.
Yeah, I have to remember that, like, well, I like to remember that we are going through an awakening. The whole world is going through this awakening from 3D to 5D. And I love listening to people talk about that. Because it reminds me, oh, my God, we are in a 3D matrix. And none of this shit really matters at the end of the day. And we need to just be in a more loving space when it comes to our art and being a creative person. So it's like, yeah, it's a business. But at the same time, let's remember that we are moving into a new era of the world. There's a lot going on, and let's cut ourselves a lot of slack here and give ourselves the grace to grow and transcend. You know, I mean, that's really what helps me come back. Yeah.
Oh, get no, centered. I really needed to hear that. You explained that so well, because we can lose sight of why are we even doing it? And the joy of, you know, sharing something that you feel is beautiful and touches you and you want to share it. And we can't lose sight of that, because then what's the point, really? And that's when you start to get stressed out. That's when things start to fall apart, when you're like, oh, this is just too much. Where do I begin? Where do I start? Oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. And pretty soon, see, that's what happens to people who don't meditate. And I'm glad you pointed that out, that you do, because it's so important. It's scientifically proven that it helps the human.
Yes.
By,
you know what's so funny?
The brain.
When I was working with Gabriella, she flew out from Florida and came to the studio to track all the songs. And, you know, I could tell there was a lot on her schedule. And so I taught her, I said, look, here's your phone, go to YouTube. I want you to listen to this meditation music, the frequency, like whatever the number is, the hertz frequencies. And I would have her listen to that with her headphones. And it was the most amazing thing to see a young teenager completely connect and allow herself to move into this meditative state in the midst of all this chaos. It was such a beautiful moment. And I was like, I really feel like an older sister. I really feel like a mentor here, giving a child a place to go in the midst of her like brand new superstar life. And so and to see like, wow, a human being really can shift from that stressful, chaotic feeling to this relaxed zen place, and to see a kid really like connect with that, it was a magical thing. Yeah. And it was such a great learning lesson for me too, because it's like, you know what, it really does make a difference for me too.
You could actually saved her life, really, because like I was saying, it's so stressful sometimes, the social media and all that pressure, that you can take your life. And why don't we segue into what you went through? And I know it's okay. You want to talk about that a little bit today at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So it's so very important to put it out there, because somebody might be listening right now who is ready to take their life. And could you just talk to us about that?
Yeah, and I really do want to start talking more about this topic more publicly. It's taken me, you know, I've always spoken about it publicly, but I really want to do it more frequently. And I think that, you know, sometimes we get afraid that people are going to say, oh, well, she's just doing that for attention, or she's just trying to be trendy or whatever it is. And it's like, no. This is my life. This is what really happened, and I do want to talk about it in order to save lives.
Because like earlier when I asked you about it, I hope I didn't do it in a way that made you uncomfortable. I was just, you know, I wanted to.
No, it's
well,
I
excited.
I like to keep,
about it.
Yeah. I just like to keep the two stories separate, because the thing about my mother is she was such a powerful. She was like the same category as like Robin Williams or Kate Spade or Anthony Bourdain, like all of these like amazing people who we saw take their own lives. Like my mom, Sue Lehner, she had 3 dance studios in the Bay Area. She was super, super just a coach, a mentor, a superstar, like, and not to mention really beautiful. And people just
She's
kind of looked
YouTube
at her
too.
Like, I've made a YouTube channel
name.
For her, so her students. Yeah,
Sue
could see her work,
Lehner.
But Lehner, but her name is spelled differently. It's Sioux. She changed her spelling the spelling of her name when she moved to LA so that she could stand out for auditions, which is so funny.
S-O-U-I-S. Oh, that's so cute.
S-I-O-U-X, like the Sioux Indians.
Oh, oh, cool.
S-I-O-U-X, yeah.
I'll send you guys the link.
So
you lost your mom over 10 years ago, am I correct? Due to suicide.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
But what
she
has trying to
been
describe
a wonderful
is,
dancer.
Well, what I'm trying to say is my mother wanted me to be a dancer. She really wanted me to be a dancer because she was my coach, and I was competing as a national competitive dancer, and that's what my career path was supposed to be. And when I told her that I wanted to be a singer, she was really against it. Like, she did not want me to do music at all whatsoever. So when Jonathan said, oh, you do music because of your mom, it's like, no, my mom didn't even want me to do music, like, at all.
Wait,
like,
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
She
just
wanted
did
me
not,
to be a dancer.
Why, though? Why? But she, is it
well,
because
I
she wanted
to
be so much
dancer,
to be a dancer?
She yeah. felt, she would say, Rochelle, you are one of the most beautiful dancers I've ever seen in my life, and I can't
mm-hmm.
watch you throw it all away. Like, you can't
right.
just throw it all away. And it's like, I don't want to be a tour dancer. I don't want to be a backup dancer. That's not who I am. I want to be front and center. I want to be the singer. I want to be the star. She didn't know anything about the music industry. She was, like, very television, movies, dance, choreography, dance studios. Like, that was her thing. So it was just, it was like a foreign concept to her. She had no idea about music or what that would entail.
That's so interesting.
But,
I want to interject. Hold on. I want to interject something. Okay, but here she has this daughter who's one of the most beautiful dancers she's ever seen. And then the daughter has another talent, though. Did you sing around the house? Did she hear your voice? How good you were? Didn't she think, oh, wow, you've got something extra?
No, she didn't think that I was that good. She thought that I was not
really?
That great.
So she was, like, literally very honest with you about her thoughts.
Oh, yeah. She was like, yeah. She said, you don't have the voice to be a singer. You know, I don't understand why you want to do this, whatever. But when I moved to Nashville, I moved to Nashville the year after I graduated. Well, I graduated from high school and immediately moved to Nashville to record.
From where?
An EP because
From California, right? From the Bay Area in California,
well,
right?
I grew up in the Bay Area. All of her dance studios were from Mountain View, California. So I grew up in the Bay, but right towards the end of high school, our family moved to Oregon because my dad was working as a vice president for 24-Hour Fitness, and it was a big deal, and so our family had to move. So
I
moved from Oregon to Nashville. I was working
and that
for
must
Radio
have been
Disney.
Horrible. Like, you thought, oh,
oh my God,
first,
That was the other thing I told her is I said, you know, my friends have the training to go be professionals. I'm in Oregon now. I'm 17. Uh-huh. I don't have the freaking training to do this
anymore.
You know, but, you know, in her mind, it didn't matter. She still wanted dance to be number one for me. And, you know, it just is a lot of parents want their kids to do what they want their kids to do. And that's
yeah,
just how most parents
back.
Are.
But do you look back at
well,
her
she came
thoughts?
Around. She came around. She came
okay.
around. So I recorded all these songs. I was discovered because I was working for Radio Disney. I was discovered by this guy, Brian Mays. I moved to Nashville. We recorded the 5 songs. I started sending the songs to my mom. And when I flew back home, I went to one of her dance competitions, and I noticed that she used one of my songs for her dancers. So that was the moment. Where I was like, oh my God, that's my song. And she's like, well, yeah, it's beautiful.
So she
and I'm like,
came around.
That you think, yeah.
But
yeah, so she
fighting,
came around.
Like,
before she died, she came around.
But sometimes moms and daughters, and especially during a move, you know, I've been through it with my teenage daughter. She wasn't a teenager at the time, but now she is. And I can imagine maybe you put her through a little hell when she moved you, you had to move, and you're kind of fighting about your career choices. How was the dynamic in your relationship?
It was so devastating. I lost so much weight. I was totally anorexic. I stopped eating. I literally stopped eating because I could not cope with how painful it was. And her and I were still flying back to the Bay Area because she was choreographing for Stars Dance Company and Teen Dance Company. So I was still competing. I was in two dance companies in the Bay. And, you know, so I was on an airplane with her every weekend. But, you know, we were competing against Dance Attack, which was her freaking studio. That was such an emotionally traumatic experience to have to compete against the family that I grew up with. That was, it was beyond traumatizing. And
that's
so getting
crazy,
into,
Michelle.
And getting into what happened with her, she, my mother wasn't the type of person to really have a conversation about emotion or about trauma. She didn't know how to talk about any of that. So everything was kind of swept under the carpet, and I was expected to just remain a professional, which really destroyed me, and I stopped eating. And my school actually told my mom, do you understand that your daughter is anorexic and underweight and needs to go to the hospital? Like, do you realize? Because she was so lost in her own depression that she did not see it.
Did you know that she was depressed? Not that that was your job to know as a child, basically.
I didn't
know
what the hell was going on. I just thought that she was...
Why? What were the symptoms?
She was just very business, and her and I fought, and she was very angry all the time, and it was...
Always angry.
You know, I didn't see her sad. I just saw her, like, pissed off all the time, and
okay.
It was, like, the drinking and the pills.
So a lot of drinking,
so,
a lot of pills, a lot of anger. That's a sign, huh? Did she ever tell anybody?
Right, but I had no idea.
I didn't
see it as that. I just thought that this is Sue. She's pissed off. I mean, that literally was how I viewed it because it was that's what I had grown up with. So I just assumed that was it for her. Like, she was always upset with my father and whatever. So she finally did take me to the hospital, but because they told her to. So I think looking back, it's like, wow, she didn't even see what was going on with her own children because she was not mentally well. And so that, I think,
were you really,
you know, when you're neglecting,
Were you very, very, how tall are you and how much do you think you weighed at that time?
Well, anorexia is, you can see when a person is skin and bone. So I'm 5'5", and I... Right now I'm 115. At that point I was like 99 pounds, which
okay.
is really disgusting.
So, yes.
For 5'5".
Okay, I know because I am 5'5" as well, and
I
have been regularly 112, and I got down to 109, and I looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I'm too thin, you know. So we can recognize it, but when you're mentally not. You're not fit mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Right.
And so she did not recognize that 99 pounds, I mean, that is like 10 pounds less than I am right now. And I am skinny right now.
Yep.
I cannot afford to lose 10 pounds right now. That is skin and bones. Wow.
But
she did not see that. What about your dad?
I was doing it on purpose, though. I was doing it on purpose. I wanted her to know that I was doing that. On purpose, and she just wasn't seeing it. So, you know, my dad was gone all the time. My dad was not an authoritarian. He was not a parent. He was more like, everybody get drunk, everybody party, everybody have a good time. Like, he just wanted to be everyone's friend. So there wasn't really any authority there.
I mean, I'm
which
not saying,
was another...
oh, wow, like that's surprising. I am saying, oh, wow, because I didn't know that you were dealing with that as well. But no, that's not surprising. I mean, my dad's like that too. It's like he is everybody's friend. Oh, my dad's so fun. You know, he is the life of the party. So I can relate to it. But for you to deal with your mom, and also I would like to interject that being anorexic is also a form of you feel that you are in control. Okay, that's one thing that you can control in your own life. And, you know, when you get thin and you are in control and you are in control of what you eat and you know what it's going to do to you, it is this thing in your mind. I almost was that. I got there almost, and I realized I understand anorexic people now because I feel so in control right now of something really, really that most people have a hard time controlling.
Absolutely.
Did you recognize
that? Yeah, that's a part of it. Yeah, that's a part of it. And everyone that has been through anorexia talks about the control factor. That was absolutely a part of it. For me, I was also screaming for help. And there was no way I was going to get help. I didn't have a mother and father that knew anything about mental health or how to handle, you know, a child acting out in any type of way, because both of my brothers also had severe issues. And I mean, Justin was a superstar. I mean, Justin should be in the NFL right now, but he was so depressed that, you know, there was drinking. And then my youngest brother, same thing, drinking, drugs, and so talented, just beyond athletically talented, both of them. And they did so well in sports. They excelled so well, but they just didn't have a mom and dad.
You
know?
Do you think it is the way that they're made, the genes, or
no,
I don't know, scientifically?
No.
It's their
Absolutely
environment?
Not.
Is their environment?
I think that if my brothers had a father that was in their life that was really loving and nurturing, and also my mom was so stressed out and upset all the time, so she wasn't there for them either. I think if they had a mom and dad that really saw them and spoke to them and love them, that no, I think it would be completely different. Absolutely.
Can I say something?
No doubt.
Can I say something? I remember I was reading a book written by Tony Robbins, and I want to know your thoughts on this. And what happened was there was a guy that was in jail. He was a murderer, you know, and he had, like, he had spent all this time in jail. And he basically had two sons, and one son basically followed his footsteps. You know, he broke the law. He was breaking into places, you know, he was a criminal. And then this other son basically was like a Sunday, went to church every Sunday, you know, was a family man. And so they asked both of them, they says, why they chose their lifestyle. And they both gave the same answer. How could we have lived our lives differently without having a father like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it is true, Barbara. I think, like, some of it is genetics, especially when you see these documentaries about criminals and their brain. But no, both of my brothers are doing okay now. But the trauma, you know, I mean, we don't really have a strong relationship because they both have their own version of the story and their own perspective and their own issues with mom and dad.
I can relate.
So it's very heavy. It's very sad for them. And also, like, I even had one of my brothers tell me, when I look at you, you remind me so much of mom that it literally puts me into a tailspin and I cannot function. Like,
and how can you deal with
that? Can you even imagine?
Yes.
What?
Because, yes, I can imagine, and it's so strange, but we have a lot of parallels going on here with our lives, and it's just amazing how you're here today, you are speaking, as such a strong woman. So basically, after hearing all of this, I'm sure that the listeners want to know, how did you pull yourself out? Where do you draw the strength, the wisdom? I mean, a little here, a little there, or where do you draw the wisdom and the strength to make it and be successful like you are now?
Okay, so let me talk about suicide really quickly because I haven't, like, gotten to that point of the story yet. I just wanted to, you know, give some background as to how it all began. But so in my mother did write a note to my two brothers and I, and, you know, she took her own life, and it was such a shock to everyone. We had two memorials for her because there were thousands of people that wanted to do something to recognize what happened here. I mean, it was like, Sue? Really? Sue did that? Like, so many people were just in disbelief. And then it was kind of like, well, what happened? You know, people want to know, how did that even happen? And it's like, okay, here's how it happens, guys. If you're silent, if you're not talking about your issues, if you have no one to turn to, it will eat you alive. And I think, number one, you cannot stay silent. You must not. And you have to learn, you can't always talk to your friends. You have to find people outside of your friend circle. You have to find people outside of your family. Because our friends and family are not necessarily the right people to talk to. And I had to learn that the hard way. You know, you have to find people that are able to hear the terrible shit and take on the weight of that and let you just get it out. Because it can be very heavy, especially for people who haven't been through anything or people who are not woke or emotionally able. You know, there's just no way to get that stuff off chest with someone that isn't ready or willing to listen. So it's like, there's so many podcasts, there's so many hotlines. Like, you have to start talking about it. I don't care if it's you listening to podcasts 24 hours a day for the next week. You got to just start doing it. You got to journal, write it down, but vocalizing it is the main thing. I have a therapist. Her name's Kimber. I'll give you guys the link. She's amazing.
Okay.
And
we want
links
of everything.
Another thing, though, that a lot of women don't talk about is when you're an attractive woman, my mom had a lot of people that were jealous of her. She had a lot of people that hated her because she was beautiful and because she was successful and talented. They hated her for no reason. Even some of her
own
family members.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, I'm not going to mention who they are, but I know for a fact that some of her family members treated her like shit because she was the beautiful superstar. And
Yeah,
and people think you get everything handed to you if you're beautiful. It's like, if you're a beautiful woman, you're in danger all the time. You have creepy dudes on your ass all the time. Like, being a beautiful woman is not a prize. It's like,
and it's not your fault.
And scary shit happens. Like, I have anxiety being attractive and walking around, going to the gym, going to the store, even hanging out at, you know, with friends. I had a really scary thing happen on New Year's Eve. And guess what?
Mm.
It wasn't a guy. It was a girl that put me in danger. So you have to remember, it's like, we are, I'm not trying to say, oh, I feel so bad for all the beautiful women. It's like, my mom committed suicide because so many people treated her like, oh, well, F her because she has everything and she's beautiful and we don't need to worry about her. It's like, no, you need to worry about her the most because she is sad and she is alone and she is grieving and mourning all this traumatic shit that happened to her. I mean, also dating. It's like men want to control. They want to abuse. They want to. It's crazy. Like when I date men, it's crazy to see their behavior change over time. It's like they want to trap you and control you. It's.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that it's
long
really.
After? I haven't even been on a date for, I think, a year and a half. How long after, when you're dating somebody and it went so well and the first few months were just like blissful, and then all of a sudden he start, right? It's always 3 months. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And then he starts to try
they
to
lose
control
their mind.
You.
They go crazy.
Wow.
They go nuts because yeah. they think that we're going to cheat on them and all these guys are like pining after us and all this shit. It's like
they fall in love with you, right? So then they feel
yeah,
their heart
and they turn psycho.
In love, and then they get scared, and then they start making all the wrong moves after that, and they push
right.
you away, and then cycle and cycle and cycle. But then on the other hand, there are women out there that fall for this all the time. So with
oh,
all
yeah.
your expertise in the world and life and dealing with so much and the loss of your mom, you must have something that is extraordinary out there, in there, I mean, to pull out when you need. Like, I saw that sign, but you might see it a lot more quickly than a normal person who hasn't dealt with all of this. Can you tell us if you've ever thought about that? And if so, what do you pull from?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm so spiritually connected, and I do think that I have guardian angels or whatever. Like, I am being guided. My mom comes to me all the time. My mom comes to me all the time. And my friend Angela, she's like a hardcore clairvoyant. And Angela was one of the first people to tell me, your mother is taking you to your destination. Like, whatever your soul's contract is, your mom is literally taking your hand and guiding you there. And she's like, so you need to forgive your mom 100%. And when she comes to you in your dreams, you need to allow her to come to you in a more loving light and presence. And
yeah.
she just explained so much to me because it is really heavy. It's very emotional. But I do feel that I'm just on this train, and I'm
have
just,
done
this
that?
Is the journey, and this is, what?
So have you let your mom come in a different light and in a forgiveness light? In a dream?
I mean, 2 years after she died is when she started showing up, and it's been, at first it was really scary, and then there were a few moments where she came to me in a very angelic way, but I've only seen her in an angelic way like maybe 2 or 3 times. Other than that, when she shows up, she has a lot of attitude and she's very sassy with me. It's almost like she's pissed off at me when she shows up.
But that's
and
not
I
how
think
she's
it's because,
always been, right? I mean, that's
right.
her attitude. That was how she lived. I mean, she was always pissed off, like you said. But see, I imagine her, when I think of her, it's like, you've got that ruler or whatever, and you're like, what, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, and you're like counting it off, and you're like, give me more. And I could just like imagine this woman, you know, and this is her. And
yeah.
she never felt like, okay, yeah, I am beautiful. Yeah, I'm talented. And I work my ass off, people. And nobody is, you know, nobody out, everybody out there is giving me accolades except for the people who I really love, which is my family. And that must have been heartbreaking for her. You know, other people like you can see now. So in reality, what happened to her helps you to even be stronger, even though it is so tragic. And
yeah,
you know, she felt like she had to take her life. That is so tragic. But you being Rochelle Royale, you're taking it and you're turning it into something that could help people, and that is so commendable.
I mean, I could be in a corner crying, and it shocks me that I'm not. I mean, I have cried a lot, obviously, and
yeah.
sometimes I don't know when it's going to happen, and it is still very, it's so not even real. It's really heavy, but it does, it did give me, it was kind of like, you know what, do you guys fucking see now? Do you see what you fucking did? Like, it kind of made me feel like that. Like, are you going to change now? Are you going to be more loving? It surprises me that all of those people really did not call me or talk to me after it happened. I really...
Wow.
It's almost like my two cousins, we started talking during quarantine a lot. But, you know, people don't want to talk about it because it's like, it's so hard for people.
I don't want to interrupt, but why would they call you? You're following even greater than in your mom's footsteps. Why would they want to call you? Why would their mind change, right? I mean, what's the difference to them?
That's exactly it. People, people don't even... Yeah, they think, oh, she's fine, or, oh, I don't need
to. Oh, yeah, she's fine. Look at her. Have you seen her gorgeous face, her gorgeous body? She just got a record deal. But, hey, this is social media, too. Do you think we're going to put ourselves out there and not put our best? You're putting your highlights out there, obviously. I mean, that's – and with shows like this, you're showing daily. When we're on social media, we're going to highlight our life. So – we have our family over here who's thinking, oh, like me. Oh, Barbara, everything's going great. Oh, wow. She just went to conference. No, that was like 5 years ago. You know what I mean? So
right.
They have this concept that your life is perfect. And, hey, if you look like that and you got talent like that, you must not have any problems. But you
it's
do.
Crazy
and your mom
see,
did.
Okay. And it's the strangers. It's the people that we don't know that will send us messages like, your song helped me get through this hard time. Or thank you for this post. It means so much to me. It's the strangers
wow.
that make us feel
oh.
loved. Because they
I
don't
think
have
they're my friends.
That. Yep. And a lot of celebrities also talk about how if I didn't have my fans, I wouldn't have anybody. Like, even Demi Lovato, who just came out with her documentary about, you know, her drug abuse, and her fans are like her lifeline. It's crazy. It's like you can't really rely on your family and the people that are closest to you because it's a different dynamic. They view you in a different way. It's just not the same. It's
they
like
may
this weird.
Think, oh, it's one thing after another with you. Well, hell yeah, it's one thing after another. I'm a mover and a shaker. I'm living in L.A., and I'm like, no, I am a celebrity here, and I'm, like, cutting albums, and I'm on the list. Oh, my gosh, top 100, top whatever. You were getting accolades and achievements and stuff. Of course it's one thing after another, because you know what? We're living, like, in one day. They're living in 10 years.
Right, but, you know, also for anybody listening, it's like, they are not, don't judge them
I'm
for not getting it. Don't judge them for them treating
okay.
you like shit. You got to just move on from that and have your chosen family and choose the people that love you. Choose to
yeah.
be around the people that lift you up. You've got to walk away from the negativity, especially if you're dealing with severe depression. Oh, my God. You have to chop it
rise
off
above.
And let it go.
And let's talk about that with Johnny for a second. Johnny, you're very quiet, which is nice. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Isn't that mean? Scott, please, Johnny, come back. That's mean. Most people say, oh, Barbara, she's so mean. But Johnny knows. Johnny knows I love him, and he's great. But I know he put himself on mute. So tell us, Johnny, how I helped you with depression. I said, no more. You call me anytime you're feeling low about anything. And I got
yeah.
over my phone phobia because I hate the phone. I hate phone calls. But I take asking Johnny a few times a day, Johnny, are you there? I don't know what happened to him. He's never done that before. I just told him that there was a lot of background noise, and I think then he put it on mute, and I never found him to just disappear for that long unless we have callers calling in. But I'm sure he'll be back. We hope you're back, Johnny.
I'm back.
Anyway, I helped him with his – okay, Johnny, I have helped my brother, and we've been discussing depression. And she has brothers who have been depressed. I have a brother who has been depressed, and dealing with that, hearing her, is very parallel. And then, so the things that I have used for him, and he's doing really well now, I'm glad to say, I used on you. Can you tell the audience how it helped you with your depression?
Well, what she does is she's always been there, and she... I mean, like, we'll be talking, and, like, if it's about my disability, she doesn't treat me any differently. I get depressed about my disability sometimes, and she doesn't treat me any differently, and you know, and it also makes me feel good the way that we're there for each other. Like, I'll be talking to her, and then, you know, and I'll be like, Barb, it's okay, and you know, I make sure that she's able to...
Yeah, but I don't like it, though. I don't like it when Johnny does that. I'm like, Johnny, I know it's okay. Johnny, I know it's okay. That's why I feel much when Rochelle's talking about her mom. I feel like I'm so similar to her mom. You know, and I have to, you know, calm down.
No, oh,
my God. At everything, you know, because I am like that. I'm like very, 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 very intense person. Extremely intense.
No, you are not even close to my mom. She was a drill sergeant.
Okay.
Don't worry about that.
Good.
But I
okay.
hear you. I'm the same way. I snap at people. I don't have a lot of patience.
So we strive to, and that's the important thing,
yes.
is to know who you are. And part of getting to know that, a big part, is to meditate. Empty the brain. Empty it out of everything. Especially you, Rochelle, because you have lyrics, I can imagine. Lyrics and ideas. Is your place, I don't know, home, condo, apartment, is it festooned with, like, notes just, like, everywhere of ideas? And then what do you do with all the notes, if so?
My living room looks like a photo shoot. a photo studio.
Oh, but that's cool. That's clothes, right?
There's, like,
the
a big backdrop.
Everywhere.
There's two ring lights, there's two umbrella lights, and then there's a rack with a bunch of wardrobe costumes, keyboard, piano, laptop, studio, mic. Like, it's just, basically, it seems like I'm renting out an artist, like, filled with, like, stuff for social media and
photos
and music.
I love it, though, and that's amazing. That's amazing. No, I have to tell everybody. Watch her TikTok, watch her Instagram and Twitter posts. You're not on Facebook, I don't think, are you?
Yeah, I have a Facebook, but Facebook doesn't matter anymore.
No, I know. So if you watch those, I know that you weren't renting. I knew that you weren't renting anything because it's like you have to post all the time, and you are. And tell them where we met. I don't even do that anymore, but it's better for musicians. And then Johnny found you there too, and that's how we got you on the show the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember where you met me?
Up Live, yeah.
Yeah, Up Live. Let's do a shout out for our Up Live friends.
Are
I
you
love
still
you
on
guys.
Up Live?
Yeah.
Ohio. She is, right? You're on Up Live, right, Rochelle?
I'm not doing it anymore. I think it was just men. I wasn't comfortable.
That's too sexual.
Yeah, just the commentary.
Because you have to put up with so much, and you just rely on friends to come and rescue you, but not all the time. They're not there all the time. So, okay, I didn't know that. But anyway, we love you, the ones that were good to us there. And onward forward, right? Onward forward, girlfriend.
Yeah.
So we're coming to a close. We want to go over everything, like where to find you and also your new singles. And thank you so much for opening up to us about these hard subjects, losing your mom.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys,
that's number one is
this.
Therapy and making sure that you're talking out loud about your problems. And there's amazing podcasts on Spotify. Like, I listen to Whitney Cummings. I listen to Pretty Mental Official. I have a bunch of links that I'll give Barbara to post. But as far as the music goes, I think, just so you guys know, it's extremely important to follow on Spotify and to subscribe on YouTube. I think actually clicking on those buttons makes such a huge difference. So when you go on Spotify and you search Rochelle Royale, when you click follow, that's literally helping the most. Clicking
the
follow button on Spotify.
It's all about the numbers,
isn't it? That is
such
a big deal.
It really is, everybody.
It's Rochelle Royale Music. On YouTube, it's Rochelle Royale Music.
Is that a big deal, too?
So make sure you guys, subscribe
What's
on YouTube.
What's a bigger deal, subscribing or liking on YouTube or following?
All of it. You have to like the video. You have to comment on the video. You subscribe. I mean, all of it really changes an artist's algorithm, you know? I mean,
but don't you have two on YouTube? Because I just made sure I was following you, and then I noticed there's two profiles on you.
No. So when when you distribute your music through DistroKid or TuneCore, they create an automatic channel for your music, but that has nothing to do with my channel. My official channel, you'll see my photo with my header, and it says Rochelle Royale Music. That's my official YouTube channel.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. I want to also say one more thing, because what I've learned in this show is that I'm not really alone. I feel that being a Playboy Playmate model, that type of the pinup, then whatever, not even the dancing, just that, okay? People hate us. You know what? It hurts. It has hurt a lot. And it doesn't just start when you are published and you're on the show. It starts when you're about 8 years old and you look in the rear view mirror because, and then you're like, oh, wow. And then somebody's staring at you, and then you go up to a vending machine and you can't use it because you're frozen because everybody's staring at you. And, you know, you're condemned, and you thought, oh, well, she's pretty, so she's stupid. And then you become quiet in a shell. And then all of a sudden you get out of school and then you become like something special. And then does that all just dissolve? No. That stuff is ingrained in you. And you know what?
Yeah.
Those people are dealing with that stuff. And just because somebody's beautiful aesthetically and then they're talented and they become successful and they're achieving does not mean they're not hurting.
Yeah.
So take another look and, you know, step back. Step back before you say you're quip and act like you're so smart about that individual. No. There's a lot going in inside, on inside. Okay. So you really hit on some stuff that I'm going to be thinking about a lot, and I think you helped a lot of people today.
Well, you are helping me, and all of you guys are helping as well by letting me talk about it, and I'm really grateful for that, that this is such a safe space to be able to, you know, really say the truth, and it really does help. It makes me feel better, and I'm probably going to have a great rest of my day just because of this. So,
yes,
you know,
you
I
are.
Love both of
and,
you.
Oh, I want to ask you something. Okay, when Johnny comes and visits, because I've never even met Johnny, my co-host, for almost 2 years now in Florida, and I'm in L.A. When Johnny, in COVID, he couldn't come visit. He had to cancel his flight and everything. When he comes to visit, can we stop by and maybe do a little 5-minute TikTok video with you?
Yes, of course.
In your studio? In your home
Absolutely.
Studio? That would be awesome.
Of course.
I mean, you know, I got to ask. That would be awesome. Right, Johnny?
You know what else would be so much fun?
Yeah.
I have a really big celebrity that lives here in my building. He's a famous jiu-jitsu choreographer, fighter, trainer.
Oh.
He trains all the celebrities. And his name's Egan Machado. So when you guys come to visit, I'll text him and see if we can, you know, get a photo with him. He's so awesome. You guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Please
tell him,
yeah.
Ethan, that the only thing that I loved in martial arts, I tried karate. Don't like it, is that style. Jiu-jitsu. Yes, and I learned it. I know how to grab the
is that judo?
My
is that
leg
judo?
And choke him out, and I almost choked the instructor out.
Is that judo?
Awesome.
Is he talking about judo?
No, it's
jiu-jitsu.
Not judo. It's jiu-jitsu. I'll send you his Instagram right now. His name's Egan Machado. The Machado brothers are super famous. He's won
a
bunch
curious,
of world champions.
Well, I'm curious, is that the same thing that Jean LaBelle does, or does Jean LaBelle do something else?
I don't know who that is, but jiu-jitsu is like on the ground, like where you're like, it's kind of like
wrestling.
Keep
them on the ground, and then you feel confident. If you have them on the ground, they usually had dropped their knife by then. And, I mean, he taught my daughter and I, and she was like 6 years old, and we both had him, and his neck was... You know, we knew how to squeeze. We knew how to do it. And we felt confident after that. I mean, this was an empowering, empowering thing. So we're going to come over. We're going to do a TikTok, and we're going to have a mini lesson from Egan.
Yes, Egan Machado.
The perk. Yeah, love it. Well, thank you so much, Rochelle, for coming on again.
Thank you.
We're so excited for you with your continued success and all your endeavors, and may the universe keep bringing you all of that inspiration like it has. And
thank you
keep
so
on
much.
Going forward, and you're an amazing light. We would love all of our listeners to please follow and also go buy your music. You're on Spotify, you have your YouTube channel. You're on Instagram and Twitter. Is there anything you want to spotlight and make sure that the listeners know where to find you?
So Spotify is Rochelle Royale. YouTube is Rochelle Royale Music. Twitter is Rochelle Royale. Instagram, Rochelle Royale Music. And TikTok is the opposite. It's actually Royale Rochelle.
Okay.
And Barbara, what's your TikTok? I'm going to add you right now. It's Barbara Moore.
My what?
Your TikTok. What is it?
Oh.
TikTok.
I know. Okay. Oh, that's my daughter's territory. I don't think I have a good username. I don't know.
What is it?
TikTok. I literally don't do it much, but I'm logging on right now. Okay, I'm logging on right now. I know, I'm not a TikTok. Okay, it says Barbara, at Barbara Moore 123. Oh, that's clever, Barbara. I should have said Barbara Moore 10. Maybe I tried and somebody had it. I don't know. I
there
hope I can change
are,
that
girl.
To Barbara Moore 10.
Oh,
Barbara
it says
Moore
your
123.
Account is...
I mean, that's cool. What?
Wait, but it says your account's private. It says it's private.
Oh, okay. Well, see, everybody,
my TikTok
you
is
can
the
start
way.
And you can, no, I'm just saying, everybody, there's a beginning to everything. I'm just starting on TikTok, and I'm out there on social media a lot, but TikTok
okay,
new,
but
For me?
For your first TikTok video, I'm going to look at your Instagram, Barbara. And just take a video from your Instagram and post it on there for now.
Okay, because what I did is I sent a lot of people the promo for tonight to listen to you live on Twitter a couple times this morning and then also on Instagram. And then I noticed you weren't on Facebook, which is totally cool because I'm ready to leave Facebook soon. I mean, I can't even believe them, but I hear Clubhouse is cool. Have you heard of Clubhouse?
Yeah, I'm on Clubhouse. Yeah.
Okay. Same username. Rochelle Royale. Music.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay, everybody. We covered it. This is wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful. And thank you for being so candid and our friend. You know what? Let's live.
Let's live. We
have been blessed. And you know what? I'm not going to feel guilty over that. Oh, just because somebody over here and over there is depressed over it. I'm not going to let that take me down. I'll help pick them up. I'll try. But you know what? I'm moving forward. And I think that's the moral of the story here today. Let's move forward and be positive.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Any more shout-outs to friends or coworkers?
I think I covered
I'll shout
everybody.
Out Johnny. Okay,
yeah,
I love
Johnny.
You guys. And hey, have your friends follow me too, Barbara Moore 10 on Twitter. I love Twitter now. I used to hate it, and I'm loving it now. Watch all of your hot videos on Twitter, and that'll lead you everywhere else, basically. So love you, Rochelle.
Yes. Love you, too.
Can't wait to see
love
what's you. Next.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Barbara. Good night, Rochelle.
Good night.